The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Father God, this morning, that's why we're here. God, we're not here because of a time of year. We're not here because of a family member or a friend. God, we're here this morning to worship you. God, we're here because you have drawn us into your presence this morning. So God, we pray that you would just make us mindful of our time here with you. God, that you would help us to walk out of this place different than we walked in because of the time we spent in your word this morning. Father, we thank you so much for loving us enough to send your son to die in our place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's good to see all you guys this morning. I think I might have missed this earlier. I was so consumed with just how good of a choir we have, Rocky. I mean, it's remarkable. I love you guys, and I cannot tell you enough how thankful I am for each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being here today. I tell you what, that was one of my biggest blessings over Thanksgiving, was thinking about church family and thinking about our fellowship and how grateful I am to be a part of this with you. Also over Thanksgiving, anybody watch movies over Thanksgiving? Name a movie you watched. Christmas Vacation. A Wonderful Life, one of my favorites. Home Alone, that's a good one. Any other ones? Elf. All right. Did anybody happen to watch Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? I don't even really like the movie, but it was on and it was like Thanksgiving, and so you just have to, like, just part of the deal is you just sit and watch movies that you don't even really care about. And it just so happened that as I was watching, it's a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, this phrase came across the subtitles, because now I'm getting to that age where I need subtitles to hear TV. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you have no clue yet. I'm at that point now, and so I read this phrase as it came across TV, Willy Wonka said to Charlie, "A ray of light in a dark and weary world." And I was like, wow, Willy Wonka had some deep theology, and I never knew it. Because it got me thinking about what we celebrate in this season. And so today, I want to look at this idea of a ray of light in a weary world. How many of you would say our world is weary right now? Just in general, man. It doesn't matter where you go, people are weary. They're tired. They're worn out. And so this is a message that is for all of us, because the reality is all of us are weary in some form or fashion today. But in that weariness, there's this light that enters in, and I'm going to do my best to do today with you. I've never done before, so y'all buckle up and hang with me. We're going to try and go from Genesis to Revelation in the next 15 minutes. Cool? Alright, so buckle up, let's go. Alright, in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2 through 4, it starts out and says this: "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the whole surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness." So in the very beginning, we have this idea that light enters the world, right? Now, there's one phrase in this passage that was interesting to me, that I found kind of fascinating. It said that the Spirit of God was moving over the waters, was hovering over the waters. So in the very beginning, God is the source of all light. From the very beginning, from Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "In the beginning there was God, and God said, 'Let there be light,' and what happened? Light came into the world." And so that was where it all started. And so for you and I today, if we have any chance of any hope, of any desire to have this weariness taken from us, we have to find it in God and God alone. It can't be found in, man, any of y'all find yourselves doing this? How many of you have budgets for Christmas? You try, right? But then all of a sudden, this looks really cool, and that budget kind of goes up a little bit. And anybody ever find the way of this is a confession moment. Just so this is for you. This is free. You can tell those about me. I'm a guilt buyer and I'm an impulse buyer. So when I feel like I haven't got enough gifts for somebody, I go out and I just buy like all kinds of crazy gifts for that person. So I don't really know why, other than just like I feel guilty, and so that's what I do to kind of like make up for it. And some of us think that we can find refreshment in buying, don't we? Man, if I could just buy enough presents for everyone, then my weariness will go away. If I can, Black Friday amazes me. If you're a Black Friday person, God bless you. I don't know how you do it. I'm exhausted from eating turkey on Thursday. I'm not waking up early and going and fighting crowds and fighting people and fighting stress and all that stuff just to buy something. That would make me even more weary. But how many of you guys like to do all your Christmas shopping early? Yeah. But how many of us find us trying to find that light in buying things? We try to fill it with that, or we try to fill it with working, or we try to fill it with busyness. Anybody try to fill it with busyness? It's amazing how many weekends are free from now until January, I don't know, 5th, 6th, something like that. There's not many. There's something every weekend. There's parties, and there's holiday get-togethers, and there's family gatherings. And so we try and fill that emptiness and that weariness with more things to do. But this morning, if you're trying to fill that weariness and that emptiness with anything outside of God, you're going to find yourself even more weary at the end of this than you came into it. But unfortunately, as God is the source of light, there's this next passage in Genesis chapter 3, and it's not on your screens, but just hear me out. It's Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Then the man and the wife and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to them, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." In hiding, man removes God's presence from with them. You see, what happened is that at this time of day, God would come and he'd walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. But at this moment, when sin entered the world, that presence was broken and man tried to hide themselves from God's presence. And so God, that light had kind of dimmed a little bit because the presence of God, God was no longer walking with man. And so what he does is he sends the word. In Psalms chapter 119 and 105, God's word becomes the source of light. If you read in Psalms 119, it says this, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Down in verse number 30, it says, "The unfolding of your word gives light, it gives understanding to the simple." So when God is no longer able to physically be in the garden with humanity because sin entered into the world, what does he do? He sends Moses and Abraham. And they are the ones who represent the presence of God with the people, right? God speaks to Abraham, and Abraham speaks to his people and gives them the commandments that God gave him and directs them on where God needs to go. Then you have all that different things, and they end up in slavery in Egypt. And then when they're in Egypt, God sends Moses, and God sends Moses to be his mouthpiece. And he says, "Hey, listen, you're going to speak for me. You're going to be the one that tells the nation of Israel those things." And he gives them the word, which is the law. And then after the law comes the judges and all these different things, and God's word becomes the rule of how people understand and know God. And so the light becomes God's word. Whatever God says becomes his being with the people. There's just one problem with that. The word is marvelous, but the light was intended to come from his presence. See, when you read in Psalms 44, verse 3, "It was not by their swords that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was by your right hand, your arm, the light of your face, for you loved them." Seeing all those things, as marvelous as God's word is, it pales in comparison to the presence of God with his people. The word was good and the word was effective, and the word did what it was supposed to do. It pointed people to God, but it was still lacking something. Because Ecclesiastes tells us that all of us were born with this desire deep in our hearts to have a relationship with God. And so what is essential for you and I to understand and to see the light is God's presence in our life. But don't worry, because what happens also is this, is that the presence of God is promised the presence of His light is promised to us in Isaiah chapter 9. Now we know this part, verses 6 through 7. It says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be on His shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Now that's a passage we read over and over again when? Christmas time. Alright, some of y'all still got your turkey coma going. We read that over and over again at Christmas. That's a Christmas passage. But when you jump back up to verse number 2 of that verse, it says this: "The people walked in darkness." Sorry, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." See, the promise is this, is that the presence of God is no longer just going to be in His Word. It's going to come and it's going to dwell amongst us. It's going to be in our lives. It's going to be real. It's going to be tangible. It's going to be something that we can see. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, it says this: "I will also make a light, make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation will reach to the ends of the earth." This light is promised. And what we do, Advent, thank you so much. I'm learning so much from you, Rocky. I didn't realize Advent was waiting. That's so cool to know. We have this waiting that goes on in our life. We're waiting for that presence of God to come back with us. And actually, this verse is referenced again in Luke chapter 2. There's a man called Simeon. Simeon was righteous and devout. He was waiting on the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was on him. For it had been revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the promises of the Messiah. So moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple court, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praising God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, you have promised, may you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations. A light of revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Church, what we get to celebrate this morning is that promise that was coming, that the light will come in the presence of God, will dwell amongst His people, was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ray of light in a dark and weary world. It said so there in that passage in Luke. It says so over in John at the very beginning of John. John never gets attention at Christmas. Matthew and Luke, they have the Christmas stories, right? But John's got a pretty good Christmas story too. In John chapter 1, it starts out in verse number 4 and it says this: "In Him was life, and that life was the light for all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness, to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was the light of the world. And though the world did not recognize him, another world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." That's the Christmas story in the Gospel of John. It tells us that the light that was promised came into the world, and that light came in the person of Jesus Christ. This morning, what we get to celebrate is so unique, church. We get to celebrate God's presence coming to earth. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to you, but just pause for a moment and think about those words. The presence of God, a ray of light, came into a dark and weary world. Listen, if you hear nothing else from what I'm about to say this morning, hear this. December, I wonder if you get to celebrate the presence of God in your life. I wonder, I think so many times we get so caught up in the birth story and in Christmas, and it is wonderful that we kind of mask over the idea that, like, what we get to celebrate. You get to celebrate the fact that God loved you enough to send his presence to earth, to dwell amongst us, to be with us. If you don't believe that, over in John chapter, I think it's 8, Jesus himself says this, 8 verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus has always been the light because he has always been God's presence with humanity. All the way back, when you look in the Old Testament, they call them Christophanies. Anytime you look in the Old Testament, it says that God dwelt, or God came and visited somebody. It was in the person of Jesus. God's presence has always been manifest to humanity in the person of Jesus. It has always been about Jesus. It will always be about Jesus. Jesus is the exact representation of the presence of God for you and I to celebrate this morning. But what happens? John chapter 3 verse 19 gives us a little insight to what happens. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. The people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear of their deeds being exposed. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that they may see plainly that which they have done and has been seen and done in the sight of God. It's the same thing that happened all the way back in Genesis, really, chapter 3. Darkness hates light, and so what does darkness do? It tries to remove light from its presence. It tries to take God out of its presence. When Jesus came and he dwelt among the people, what did they do? They didn't like him. They didn't respond well to him. They didn't enjoy his presence being there with him. And they failed to see that his presence represented God with them, Emmanuel. So what did they do? They crucified him on a cross. Because he exposed the darkness of their hearts. I know you're all good church-going folks, and you're here on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and there are a million other places you could be. But I wonder how many of us kind of fall into this category. We wouldn't say it. We're not going to get this tattooed on our forehead, I hate the light. But we try to remove God's presence from certain areas of our life, don't we? Driving yesterday, I have small road rage issues. I know you find that so difficult to believe. Something happened. I don't know what it was. I got a little tense, got a little nervous, got a little angry. And I said something, and as soon as I said it, I stopped and I looked at Kelsey and I said, I've got to stop saying that. And it was almost as if I wished I could remove God's presence from in that car with me at that moment. So I could say that and not feel guilty. So I could say those things that come to my mind and not have to worry about that thing called conviction in my life. See, I think a lot of us, we wouldn't say this phrase out loud and identify with it. But when we look deep in our hearts, that's really where we are. We try to remove God's presence from our life because there are things that are so much easier just to do in the darkness. Sad story, the darkness thinks they triumph. They think they've snuffed out the light. They think that God's presence has been removed from them for good. We also read this in 1 John chapter 1. This is the message we've heard, and we declare to you that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. In this remarkable move, when darkness thinks that it has removed the presence of God from all of the earth and from humanity in general, God gives you and I the remarkable job of being the light. He says, listen, I was the light, but I'm no longer the light in the form that you guys knew me. Now the light is in you. Well, how does that happen? What do you and I have that no... Listen, this is so cool. What do you have in your life that nobody before Jesus had? The Holy Spirit. God's presence continually with you, always. Man, that is super cool. That is amazing that God loved me enough not just to die on the cross for my sins, not to remove that, but to give me His presence always. Every situation, every circumstance, regardless of how weary, how dark, how awful the world is, I have God's presence living in my life. That's remarkable. That's what we get to celebrate. God does this amazing thing and He says, listen, they thought they could snuff me out, but here's the cool thing. Now my light is brighter because it's not just one man on earth. It is a multitude of people who make up the body of Christ. And now God's presence is everywhere. That's awesome. He says over in Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ as Lord, ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in the hearts to give us the light and the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this is all surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is also at work in you. What I love about that is He goes back to Genesis and He says, that voice that said, let there be light, has been sent to you, and that light is now living in you. You are a jar of clay, but what you shine from inside of you is a light in the presence of God in a dark and weary world. Listen, that ray of light that came and that needs to come, that all of us agree we live in a weary world and we need light. Look at your neighbor, look at yourself, church, it's you. You are God's presence in humanity. That's awesome, but how do we do that? These are all great words, wonderful, fantastic, yeah. Great. How do we live out the light of Christ in our lives? The first thing you do is you walk in the light. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 8 through 10 says this. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Listen, you want to know how you do this? You live in what's right, what's true, what's good. You search and you find out what pleases God. Not your flesh, not you. Not real hard, but difficult to do. The second thing we do is this. We live lives of faith in the light. Romans chapter 13 verses 12 through 14 says this. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not carousing in drunkenness and sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think of how you can gratify the desires of the flesh. Again, just a repeat, kind of, really. What do you do? Well, you do the opposite of what you want to do. You find out what pleases God, and you do that. But there's also one phrase in here that's super important. Let me show it to you. In verse number 12, it says this. Lay aside the deeds of darkness. Now, what's a deed? Action. Somebody said it. Thank you. Action. Action is a deed. It's something that is done. But look what you do next. Put on the armor of light. If you put on armor, do you do anything? To make that armor work, do I have to do anything? No. Armor is armor. Why? Because it's what it is. If I put on armor, it does all the work, right? I'm just there. It's this idea of faith that sneaks in there again, that you and I are not saved through works. We're not saved by what we do. We're not saved by any of those things. You and I are saved by faith and faith alone. And so what you and I do is we live out that faith in our life. We say, God, listen, what you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. I'll be your tool. Send me in a battle wherever you want me to go. I'll let you do the work and I'll just wear your armor. This morning, church, we get the awesome privilege of being the light of Christ in a dark and weary world. You and I have the awesome privilege and responsibility of being that ray of light in a world that desperately needs to see Him. This morning, I wonder, December, busy month, lots going on. We've already talked about all those different things. But we started out the service and every one of us agreed, the world's dark. The world's weary. I wonder this December, if you'll commit with me to being a light in the world. To let God's presence shine through you to a world that needs to see it. The good news is this. I told you we were going through from Genesis to Revelation. God's presence is always the light. And there's going to come a day when we get to experience that presence in a different way. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, it says this. The city does not need a sun or a moon to shine, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. We shine today with the hope of being in His presence in the future. And what a great place to be. Church, this morning, I don't know what your December looks like. I don't know who you're going to encounter. I don't know what kind of family members you have going on, or what conflict you have around work, or what all is going on in your life. But I know this, that the world is weary. And it's dark. And this morning, God has given us the charge and the responsibility to be the light, to be His presence in the world today. This morning, if you would, Rocky's going to come and sing a song of invitation and worship for us. Here, and I love the way we phrase this, it's invitation and worship, because this is a time not for you to do business with the church. If you need to do business with the church, you need to join here, you need to be saved, you need to be baptized. By all means, you come and you do that, but really that's not you doing business with the church, that's you doing business with God. So even if you don't have one of those decisions to make, as Rocky sings and as you sing this song, make this your commitment. God, I'm going to be your light. I'm going to be your presence in a dark and weary world this year. Make it your intentional emphasis for December. Listen, December 1st is today. See if you can make it 31 days intentionally being God's presence in the world. You know what will happen if you do that? Day 32 will come real naturally. Day 33, even more naturally than that. Before you know it, God's presence is going to seep out into a world that desperately needs to see Him. God, we love You. We thank You for today. Father, I thank You for the fact that Your presence is here with us. That You were Emmanuel when You came and You dwelt and You lived amongst us. But God, You also have given us, Your body, the responsibility and the privilege and the joy to be Your light in a dark and weary world. God, I pray that during this time of worship and commitment, Lord, that we would just take our stand. Or that we would resolve in our hearts and our minds that we're going to be Your presence in this world this month. Lord, that lights would shine all over this community, all over this parish, all over the state and all over this world for you. Lord, we ask that during this time you would just help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.